Amen.
Okay. What else are we going to talk about today? Patriots. Okay. Somebody remind me, what is the style of government that we are under?
Democracy.
Institutional or constitutional republic.
Come on. Push your glasses up a little more.
Authoritarian.
Republic. Go ahead, Eric.
A constitutional republic.
A theocracy.
America.
Monarchy. We all say monarch.
Monarchy.
Monarchy.
Monarch.
We're doing that.
We're the monarch.
We're doing that.
Ruled by one king. Raise your hands if you're in the monarchy. You get it?
Yeah.
We are citizens of the kingdom of Christ. Every time I ever ask that question in a class, everyone always gets it wrong. And it disturbs me. Because I thought of it and I think, everybody should get this. And I think if I were on the other side, I would have answered it wrong as well. But it bothers me that I would have answered it wrong also. We need to think primarily, first place, that we are citizens of God's kingdom. Our default thinking is that we are Americans. And that messes up our processing of controversial issues. Because our default then is to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and, you know, all of these sorts of things. Do those kind of Constitution, Bill of Rights and laws and traditions in America, do they influence controversial issues? Tremendously. Wow, I mean, there's probably an endless number of controversies that we could list that are based off of interpretations of First and Second Amendment. I mean, we could stop right there, right? But what we need to do is base all of our views primarily off the fact that we're citizens of God's kingdom. And then secondarily, is that a word? It is now. that we are residents here. That's okay. Paul used his citizenship of Rome in his labor in the kingdom, right? There's nothing wrong with considering it that. But I think we can make a pretty strong argument for Paul as well, that his primary concern was to be the citizen of the kingdom, right? Joe, please tell me, if somebody doesn't see the track that I'm on, I don't want to leave anybody at the station. Do you all understand where I'm going with this? We need to think spiritually and make our decisions based upon our relationship with our king more than our relationship with our president. Right? So what would be some passages that would help us in regard to this? Let me give you one that, and we can even debate this a little bit. If anybody's in here, and Eric, I think maybe you caught the tail end of it. Maybe at lunch we're talking about it a little bit. Look at Exodus 20. What's in Exodus chapter 20? Yeah, the Ten Commandments. Extra credit, where are the other two places that are listed?
Deuteronomy 5.
Deuteronomy 5, and? Got it?
I think it's number 10.
That'd be a pretty good guess. It's wrong. Nobody else? Leviticus 19. They're in conversation style, Leviticus 19. They're not listed in order. I really like that list because it shows it's not just a checking at all. But yeah, you can make the argument that at least nine of them are there. I like to make the argument that you're quitting. Wait, no, that's wrong class. Exodus 20. So Exodus chapter 20, Verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Lord your God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. What does that mean? Take the Lord's name in vain? Not a trick question. Yeah. So it's going to have a different meaning to it, that for something in vain? Using his name without full reverence. There's a lot of ways we can answer this. So I'll find out what other ideas.
Doing something wrong in the same.
Okay. Like Corbin in Matthew 15, they came to the Lord, and the Lord replied, I don't know, that's good. Other ideas?
Using it wrongly?
Using it wrong. So, the word take there is, I think, most often when we read it, we read say. Agree with that? Normally we think of taking the Lord's name and things that we're saying, right? But it's not the word say, it's take. I fully believe that it includes what we say. But in several other passages, as we're talking about at lunch, not every other passage, but I think most, I didn't bother talking out them. But this word, it's usually translated bear or carry. Hebrew masah or something like that. See, I can say fancy things like that. Those people are just over there. Read that again. Put the word bear or carry there. We have a deeper, a more expansive meaning, maybe in your mind than what it would have otherwise. It does for me, after somebody pointed this out for me.
Oh, it's take.
In Exodus 28, you're there in Exodus 20. Exodus 28, another passage, and there's several that deal with this word. But in Exodus 28, beginning in verse 28, they shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings, the rings of the ephod, using a blue cord to the above the intricately rolled woven band on the ephod, so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial for the Lord continually. The idea of him bearing, that's the same word that's used here. And it's used in a lot of passages talking about carrying something. So it's not just what you said, that's included.
28:15.
But I think maybe think of it in this sense of Exodus 28, where you're wearing it. You know, you're carrying it. You're bearing his name. Kind of like we mentioned briefly yesterday, right? The Confederate flag. Well, you're bearing the banner.
Maybe
of
12.
Christ.
Maybe verse 12.
You're wearing that. Don't wear his name. Don't carry his name in vain. They give you other thoughts? Feel free to share that if you do. I'd like to hear how that might apply or where you might see that. Okay, that is more than say. That also includes. What do you think? Yeah.
If we're image bearers of God's name, then what we do reflects upon that name. So if I claim to be a Christian, but I don't act like a Christian, then that's a vain claim. It's not true.
Good. I really like what Wyatt said at the beginning, right? Wyatt, you had the first answer, right? And you said what we do, right? Yeah, you nailed it right off the bat. That's really, that bothered me, because somebody would give the wrong answer to start off with. But you nailed it right at the very beginning. Everything that we're doing in the name of Christ. And we need to remember because that's the name that we are wearing, that we're displaying.
Temporarily.
But you're not temporarily where your house is, where the rest of your furnishings are. Do I kick you out every day?
Describe us as being
God is going to be doing the judging for what we need to be careful with our conduct during the time of
our stay.
Exile. What else?
Stay.
Stay. It's just stay.
Yeah, New American Standard.
Yeah, mark that out. sojourning is the idea. Temporarily living. So maybe a temporary stay is what the idea that we ought to be. I often don't think of a stay as more of a permanent kind of thing. What about chapter 2, verse 11? So say it again, James. Say it again.
Stay? What? I don't know. I just got there. I was taking notes. I'm sorry.
Chapter 2, verse 11.
Yeah, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul.
So, thinking about the fact that we are pilgrims, sojourners, exiles, aliens, really, just the nuts and bolts of that is we don't belong here. This isn't our permanent place. We're passing through, we're traveling. And we ought not to think of this as where we're putting up roots. It's kind of like, it's why none of us care about the school board in Jacksonville. That's irrelevant to us. I lived in Brazil for 4 years. I could learn who the president of Brazil was and some of the ins and outs. I kind of kept track of things that were going on, but I didn't get deeply involved. I mean, even though I was going to live there for a couple of years, it just didn't affect me that much. I was there for a different purpose than to get all involved in those things. And I knew that I'm only going to be here a short period of time. I need to focus on what's really important. And, man, that was so easy. I just remember the whole time we were in Brazil, there was just never any question about why we were there. And we moved back to the U.S., and it's hard sometimes to remember. You know, you get wrapped up in sports or politics or, you know, whatever it might be, and you kind of forget that you have one main purpose for being here. And when you're not putting down roots and planning to stay forever. And I think that if we can remember that some of these controversies just would not seem so significant. We don't have to fight and defend America and American ideals and principles and amendments and constitution. I'm not saying none of those things are important. I'm not even saying that I'm not thankful for some of them. But they're not what I'm basing my life off of. Thoughts, man?
So, I would say that
aware of some of those things. It would consume our lives. You know, some people just spend hours, a week, probably a day, just keeping up on what's going on in the political realm. And that's misdirection of your attention. We need to spend more time focused on the kingdom of God. The false. So our conduct, this passage talks about 117. Behold the Father without partiality, judge before the equal work. Conduct yourselves, well, I'm your sojourn and your peer. We conduct ourselves from our time of sojourning or temporary stay in fear and respect of God. Because God's going to judge us. The Supreme Court is in heaven. You know, we get all torn up about who's going to be the next one appointed on the Supreme Court and, you know, what's going to happen. And, you know, do we need to make sure that we get the right president in so that the next court vacancies are going to be taken care of? There's never been a Supreme Court vacancy in our nation. Right? In our nation, there's never been a Supreme Court vacancy. God has always been on his throne. God is always ruling supremely. We don't need to stress and worry about those kinds of things. What? We like the misinformation. You know, let me just delve in a little bit into this political realm. Man, if we can just get a Republican president so that when Ginsburg and whoever else dies or retires, you know, in the next 4 years, so that we can get some more our Republican appointed judges, we can really make some serious changes in this nation. I mean, maybe even like the laws on abortion. That's a pretty controversial issue, right? So have there ever been laws on abortion made? What would be the most significant one?
Roe versus Wade.
Roe v. Wade, right? You know, what was the vote on Roe v. Wade? 7-2. Majority of the Republicans. Republican appointed. So I want to say the number, but I'm probably going to get it wrong. But Roe v. Wade was established because the Republican appointed. Don't think that if we can get the right guy to appoint the right people, we're still dealing with humans. And I mean, it's already been pretty well worn out with some of the choices that have been made lately. Followed in very much with Roberts. You know, that's kind of a surprise on some of the things that the way that he's ruled on different things. And I don't even necessarily want to get into whether they were right or wrong or whatever. I'm just saying that it's a failure to look high enough for where changes are going to come from. If we're going to put our confidence in R or D, then we're not putting them in the Lord. But again, that comes back to a focus on America instead of the kingdom of God. And I am not saying pay no attention to America, ignore the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it just needs to be much, much less important. You know, it needs to be closer to who's running for school board in Jacksonville in our minds than it is to of utmost significance. You know, if you're going to put those things on a scale, school board in Jacksonville of utmost significance, our concerns about American politics need to be closer to this than to this. We need to be focused on the Lord and what He wants and bearing His name. Philippians chapter 1. Oh, good.
Feel free to pass over to you. Any thoughts on maybe how this principle of God would affect our mentality in the military? Christians are going to go there.
bunch of distractions right now. At the very least, we need to think more carefully about whether we're defending America or whether we're thinking more about the kingdom of God. That would be just a short answer. Yeah.
You mentioned Philippians. I'm in Acts 16. Philippi is a Roman colony. And although they're mostly Greek, there are some retired soldiers there, and their big deal is we are Romans. Paul gets beaten and thrown in prison. But he uses his Roman citizenship and says, you've beaten us, you and Silas, unlawfully as Roman citizens. Now you tell your chief magistrates to come down here, and they will escort us out. And they're begging, they're scared because of what these Roman citizens, Paul particularly, might do because they've broken their own law. Often wondering why other times he doesn't seem to make a big deal about his citizenship. But there are new Christians there.
Mm-hmm.
There's Lydia and her family.
Yep.
There's the jailer and his family. And they can take a pummeling from the Romans. But I think Paul uses his Roman citizenship to help protect other Christians
yep.
from abusive oppression by government.
I think you're absolutely
Amen.
Right. Make note that he only did that afterward and not before.
Yep.
He received a beating without appealing to that. And he certainly could have. He does that later on. And so he's going to appeal to his citizenship, his earthly citizenship, for the cause of Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as we're thinking about national, like Babylon and Greece and Rome, we can use American citizenship to the glory of God and have some tickets to go places that other people don't have that privilege.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great tool that we can use and should. David.
Well, how much just from your thoughts, like passage like Jeremiah 29, and seeking while you're in exile the welfare of the city. To what I'm not saying this is a chapter, but just your thoughts about the parameters of that. Or does it even apply to us?
No, I think it does. I think we ought to be concerned about Americans. You know, I think we need to be aware, and that's where we have some involvement, because we do care about the welfare of others, particularly those that are not in the Lord. We want them to be saved, and you know, how does that fit into the situation? Yeah. I think that's a legitimate. Yeah, we're not. It's not that we go and buy a monastery. And that.
Who would do that?
We need to have some. That's really funny to say. We want to have interaction, and we want to care about people on earth. Yeah.
I think the greatest thing we can do for America, as American citizens, is point people to our King. That's going to be the greatest thing we can do to help change the view about abortion and how we treat other people, is if we honor Christ and then we treat others as neighbor, then that's going to be the greatest remedy for our country, but we don't ditch our country in the process.
Sure. Listen, I love America. I am so thankful. Freedoms that we have, the opportunities that are presented. I'm really grateful for where I live. But again, it has to be that secondary relationship.
What else
have
I thought of?
So, would you say that the Roman
So I don't think we should be ignorant of what's going on. I think we're the real illustrations of Jesus. We're really good for that. We ought to know what's going on. I think we need to focus on spiritual reasoning, not the secular reasoning. When Christians appeal primarily to the Constitution or the First Amendment or the Second Amendment, that gives me concern. You know, when we are more focused about the First and Second Amendment than it appears to me we are about the First and Second Commandment, then you know, that's a problem.
I think one of the reasons this is so hard for us in our culture is Satan's done a great job of secularizing America. We have this idea of the separation of church and state that we don't even question. So we assume if we're talking about state issues, national issues, that's a different box than the Bible, the religious issues. And we have to basically throw out that jettison, jettison that way of thinking and say, no, I'm not going to let the world tell me how to think about this. I'm going to come to God and ask Him, how do I think about this? And I'm going to openly let that inform my thinking on national issues. So basically we have to reject that secular idea.
How far do y'all continue to do this class? How far are you? Your insight comment? Did y'all do the first conference?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
First Chronicles 29. But in Genesis 14, I think that's the first place where we find the word. You know, when the five kings and four kings battle with Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot is taken, word comes back to Abraham, right? Somebody escapes and comes and tells Abraham. What is Abraham called up there? Abraham, you see that? 14? Yeah, 14:13. Abraham the Hebrew, 14:13. What is Hebrew? The idea there. Yeah, a wanderer. So Abraham has moved into this area, and they understand, even though he's living there, that he doesn't belong there. You have that language that's used in regard to Abraham in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. So we need to think of ourselves as just wandering, temporarily passing through, headed somewhere else. And while we're here, we're representatives, ambassadors of the kingdom. Yeah, Eric.
It's impressive that David says that when he settled in the land that God wanted, like that was actually God's nation. And even in that scenario, he still says that this isn't ultimately my home.
Right. Yeah. That's why I like these two passages in 1 Chronicles 29 and Genesis 14. God's told Abraham, this is your land. I'm giving you all this land. And he says, I'm wandering here. And David has the land and is in charge of the land. And still, both of them have that attitude. I know that
I know that Abraham also had that attitude again because of Hebrews 11. In verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was afterward and received the inheritance. He went out and where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents, divided in Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder makes of God. Abraham wasn't looking to put down roots. God saying, I'm giving you this land, you and your descendants. He and his descendants, they lived here looking for something more permanent. And they were looking for heaven. And that's the way that we need to be. We need to understand. Just a marvelous moment that we are blessed to be a part of a kingdom that I haven't even fully seen yet. I want to be careful with how I say that, because we are living in the spiritual places and heavenly places in Christ now, Ephesians, right? But I haven't fully seen it. But the promises. And the imagery that is given for us. Other thoughts? Comments? Questions?
Joe.
Yeah.
How do we help our brethren in a way that's not condescending? Or how do we do this in a helpful way if we feel like people are focusing too much on this kingdom?
Politics.
Preach this lesson that I picked from somebody else. I mean, that's a really good question. It was a process for me. It did not quit overnight. I was telling somebody earlier, I come from a military family. My dad served in the Korean War, flamethrower gunner, pretty dangerous job. And my brother, 82nd Airborne Air Assault, MP, and Gulf War I, and my nephew was Gulf War II, and I served in during peacetime. I'm thankful for it. And, I really just had a real sense of patriotism for America. And it's taken me a long time to lessen that. But I think the way that we lessen that is not so much to focus and tell people to lessen it, as it is to stress the greater kingdom that we're in. I think it's the thing that's helpful, is by just focusing on we are citizens. We're submitting to a king, and since we're submitting to that king, his rule, his rules, need to be considered first.
Just a follow to that, and your point, the St. Peter who wrote all this stuff about exile, he didn't believe that for a long time. Whenever he first met Jesus, after he'd been with Jesus for years, even after Jesus had been raised from the dead, this stuff was hard for Peter. He was very nationalistic, but eventually he came to this place because he kept having the gospel of the kingdom preached to him. So I think that's hopeful, but also it's a patient task for ourselves and for others.
That really is helpful. Think about his statement to Cornelius, that in every nation, that's a pretty big statement for Peter. Every time that I teach that text, I vacillate with who learned more, Peter or Cornelius, and do that again. There's a process for both of them.
So I want to give you an argument that I hear that kind of for people who do emphasize the government. So one thing I hear is God has given us three institutions. He's given us the church, the home, and the government. We preach lessons on the home, we preach lessons on the church, how to take care of those. So why would it be different for the government?
And so when we preach on the home, what is the foundation or the principle upon which we live in that home? God's rule.
Yep.
That home is founded in the kingdom of God.
Yep.
So I would say the same thing for the others as well. I think that we have to, while we're living in this environment, this physical realm, we need to live under those kingdom principles. Somebody asked, is there some balance in all that? Yeah, absolutely. And so you have various passages that talk about submitting to government and you know, praying for leadership and so on. I'm not at all dismissing, or I hope I'm not undervaluing those passages. But we do them from the perspective of heaven, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Philippians 1, verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Are there translations there?
Manner.
What about Philippians 3 and verse 20? Yeah, your citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait. The difference in the word there for conduct in Philippians 1, 27, Philippians 3.
Politeuma is the Greek word there. It's a political word because people of Philippi focused more on their Roman citizenship than they did on the citizenship of heaven.
And it's essentially the same word. It's not exactly the same word. It's all the same word. Same derivative.
I never remember that word.
It's the same thing. Let your conduct, let your citizenship, the way that you're living here. So here's the challenge to avoid controversial issues. I think Philippians 3:20 really is helpful for that. I don't want you to answer out loud right now, but I want you to answer. Are you eagerly waiting for that? All of us want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. The first time I heard that, that's a challenge. We need to accept that. We need to think about that. You know, I want to go, but are you eagerly waiting? And I don't mean we step out front of cars to try to, you know, make it happen faster. But we need to be longing for heaven. I think if we're longing for heaven, we're going to see some of these controversial issues from a different perspective. We need to try to see them. Gary Sandusky, first person I heard say that wisdom is seeing things as God sees them. I really like that covet and nuts and bolts definition. When we're dealing with controversial issues, we want to have wisdom. Try to see it as God is seeing them, not just as a First Amendment is seeing it, or Second Amendment, or whatever. Try to view it from heaven. And I think that will help you. It certainly has helped me to become less anxious in controversial issues. Thank you all.
Thanks, Joe. What are we doing? Rebecca sent me a video of Sally, so now I want to watch it. She's telling her to wave at me.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Did she really know what she was doing, you think?
Yeah.
She knows how to wave?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you can tell her to wave. She'll start waving.
It's your dad.
I know.
What is it? Ice. Rebecca.
In case of emergency, so like if you're in a wreck, they can look at your phone and immediately know.
Will they see ice? Do they get that?
Yeah, paramedics know to look for that. Did you not know that?
Do you really know to look for that?
My brother does. He's a paramedic. Thank you.
Over here.
I can't wait to see them. I haven't seen them in, by Saturday. It'll be 2 weeks since I've seen them.
Since you've seen who?
Rebecca and Sally.
Why? Where have you been?
They've been in Wolf. So
where were you the week before that?
I was still in Harrisburg. So they flew out on this Monday. So, I mean, it won't be quite 2 weeks by the time I see them on Saturday, but they flew out then. And so.
Man, so you didn't leave till Friday?
Saturday. Steven and I left Saturday morning. So, on this Saturday, Greg's going to drop me off in Louisville, and then we'll drive back up.
Man, that's a long time since you've seen him.
I know.
It's got to be rough.
Yeah. Especially, she started crawling while she was at Gina's. That bugged me.
But I'm sorry.
It's not a big deal. It is what it is. We'll have a ton of other kids that I'm sure I'll see walk, you know. Hopefully. Lord willing.
And you'll tell all those other kids I like you more.
Yeah, because I actually got to see you walk. It's completely irrational, but like...
No, bro. I mean, that's the thing...
Yeah, so he gave us his notes yesterday, so it made taking notes on here completely useless, so I still pulled it up in case there was something he said that wasn't in the notes that I wanted to write down. Oh, I love it. Yeah, I enjoy it. Now, obviously, it's not home. It's not Kentucky. I mean, I can't, you know, my family has a farm, and so... hunting and fishing and all that. I haven't done any of that since I moved out. But other than that, it's been, the brethren are good and the church is growing really, really fast. And so the work's going well enough that I don't miss it too much. If the work was slow and, well, and it was slow for the first 2 years. I don't know if you've talked with Stephen much, but we really just finally hit, like, I don't know, just all strong. You know what I mean?
And
I'll be honest, if we hadn't, at the beginning of 2020, if
one of those articles,
we hadn't started having arguments on Facebook from our labor, coming to camp this year, I probably would have been tackling a lot of these old guys and been saying, am I on the road? Do I need to go somewhere else? Am I just not effective here? Do I need to go somewhere else? But at the beginning of 2020, we turned a corner, and I mean, we're having studies. That wasn't the thing. It wasn't that we weren't getting Bible studies. We were getting a lot of them, but no one. Right. Like, I'd get a few studies, study with them for a month, and then they'd tell me, yeah, this isn't what I want. Okay, all right, well, we'll move on. And, you know. Yeah. Well, and then Stephen and I, we weren't working well together until I would say about this year. Like, we're two completely different people. And we're finally, we have figured out what each other's strengths and weaknesses are. And that's what we're doing. Oh, okay. Well, 2020 has been a huge time for us. So things are going well. How are things for you at?
Small travel to the front. I've seen growth.
That's good. Yeah.
Rochester, like I always go, there will be someone there, but there will be other men there to help teach and play singing and all.
That's great.
And that's been a nice break for Rochester where, I mean, it wasn't uncomfortable for me to show up to the older guys. There are a handful, that didn't happen very often, maybe twice. Why should have been anyone else showed up? So there's a big, large number, I guess. I think we're talking 12 people, so seeing a person almost 10% of your congregation.
Right.
But a large number comes from the same family. So if one got sick,